Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program between arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner, alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our 2018 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valpa University's Brouwer Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building in Valparaiso, call 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them for their generous support, and thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager and engineer for our show. And we'll just take a minute again. Though our community campaign may be passed, you still can support WVLP, and we are looking for your support. We're looking for support from individual listeners, show-specific and everything. We'd be happy, both Esther and I, to have you sponsor our show. And while our campaign ended on November 21st and the day of giving on November 27th, we'd love to have you be part of the WVLP family if you're a listener. You can do that at wvlp.org/support. That's wvlp.org/support. We have levels from all over, especially for underwriters or individuals, but you can find out more. And like I always say, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. Join WVLP family right now. Now we're going to go on to our arts and entertainment calendar for this week. And by the way, our program is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. And it's always streaming live at WVLP.org. So here's our first for Porter County, our calendar. And we'll go through them right away. Valparaiso University Center for Arts continues the Brouwer Museum through December 9th, the photography of David Robert Austin. We ended up in Australia, Lives Honored Dreams. Asher Yates at the Strimbu Gallery in the second floor, and this is a veterans exhibit that's continuing at Valparaiso University through December. And Krista Steinke, Good Luck with the Sun and Other Works, is always there. Dunes photographer Dave Larson continues at the Ellen Fermi Gallery on US 12 in Beverly Shores. The Village Gallery at the Pines through December 6th, we have the Valparaiso University Junior Exhibition, where 12 art major students' works will be on display. Starting also December 9th through the January 17th, where we Lori Schimmer Carpenter, and she'll be displaying her oil works there. Chesterton Art Center just ended their exhibit, and they'll be opening the Dune Plein Air member exhibit, and that'll be opening on Saturday, December 1st, going through the 24th. And their artist reception, by the way, is Saturday, December 1st, 2 to 4 p.m. Public is invited. The Uptown Cafe continues with the local artist, Liz Werfel. And you can talk to Liz at her opening, but she's there. She's an MFA from Columbia College. Art Barn, they'll be doing a Christmas Carol, a one-man adaptation with Grant Fitch on December 15th, 7 to 10. Ticket information is available at artbarnindiana@gmail.com, or you can call them and go to their website or Facebook page. Tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for kids 12 and unders, and it's an interesting characterization of all. Now we're going to move to Esther and LaPorte County.
LaPorte County's busy right now. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, their exhibit Waiting for a Sign explores the use of signage, text, and iconographic visual images and symbols in the work of eight contemporary artists. You can view that in the Heinemann, Brinka Cross, and Susan Block Galleries, and it's open through January 12th. Southern Shore Art Association has the exhibit The Gift of Art. Their gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street. For more information, please visit the SSAA website, southernshoreartassociation.com, or visit SSAA Facebook page. SFC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street will have on Friday, December 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. the Dig the Dunes calendar release party and reception. They will be exhibiting the winning photographs that are in that calendar. Larry Breckner, my Art on the Air co-host, will have his image, Washington Park Dune Dusk, as the July page of the calendar. Please visit, have him sign that page. You'll be there, right?
I sure will.
Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting the work and paintings, drawings, and sculptures of artists Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street, their December exhibit, Joy to the World, is a mixed media show. Nest at 803 Franklin Street, we will be exhibiting the paintings of David Kreiner, his abstracts, and the geometric paintings and sculpture of Margie Kreiner through December 16th. We extended that show by popular demand. So now this is like an exciting thing happening in Michigan City. On December 1st, we have the Snowflake Parade, but the merchants have gotten together, and the merchants of the Uptown District are... in fact, I'll just read from it. The North Pole is excited to announce that the merchants of the Uptown Arts District will be helping Santa this year by doing the first check on his naughty and nice list. Participating merchants will be stamping letters to mark every boy's and girl's good behavior. Starting at 3 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st, children can claim some treats and paper. We have letters started for you to write to Santa before Santa parades down Franklin Street. The more... participating businesses you visit, the more stamps you can acquire to show Santa how good you have been all year. So there's a whole list of merchants. They'll have signs in their windows saying that they are participating. Then December 2nd, it should be fun. The Snowflake Parade. Parades are great. December 2nd is the second annual Movable Art Feast holiday pop-up. This year we have three galleries that will transform into a mini art festival starting at 10:30 a.m. at the Rising Phoenix Gallery, and then 11 o'clock a.m. at Blink Contemporary Art, and then finally at the Nest at 11:30. Each gallery will remain open throughout the day, and the times will vary at each gallery as to how late they will be open. And I think that's about it, and I think Lake County...
We're next, but boy, that's a lot going on in LaPorte County, so you should check that out.
I know.
Well, in Lake County...
It is the season.
It is the season to be. I'm sure you can find much more. And by the way, if you're interested in getting being a guest or sending us information about your arts or art-related event, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And you can, we'll be happy to put your event on the air, or if you're interested in being a guest on here, talk about your art, or if you're a curator or something, glad to have you on the air. Now let's move to Lake County and what we have, South Shore Arts. Well, they just opened a registration for their winter session classes. Those classes will begin January 7th, so you can check the South Shore Art Facebook page or website for details. In the gallery, which is the Bachman Gallery, their main gallery, is the Indie Windy, A Love Story, and that's going to continue through January 9th. It's curated by Ish Mohammed, and it will feature artists from Indiana, Chicago, who execute large public works of art, so you can go still see that at the gallery. In the atrium, well, there is actually no art exhibit, but every season they do the Festival of the Trees, sponsored by the Women's Society of the Northwest Indiana Symphony. So if you stop by, you can see a variety of trees that are decorated or sponsored by local merchants or non-for-profits and everything, so give a shot there, and that's, of course, at the Center for Visual Performing Arts. In the Crown Point branch at 8611 North Indiana, Mike Barrett Kowalski continues with his Wildscapes, and that will continue through January 5th. 119th Street Artists, which will have Oliver Brown Juried Exhibit starting November 26th through January 16th at the Cornerstone Gallery. That's the Centier Bank at 119th Street in New York. And their opening reception is Friday, which is today, by the way. If you're listening on Monday, you missed it. November 30th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. And it's a whole wide variety of things. That's their juried show that they have at 119th Street. Studio 659 in December is featuring their children's under 18 art exhibit, and that'll continue through this month. If you're interested in seeing the gallery, it's open mostly week Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You can contact them at studio659.org or see their Facebook page. Indiana Ballet Theater will be performing its 21st annual performance of The Nutcracker, and that's throughout Northwest Indiana this year. November 30th, December 1st and 2nd will be at Crown Point High School. December 8th and 9th, Valparaiso High School. And December 13th through the 15th at Indiana University Northwest. You can find out details at ibtnw.org. That's ibtnw.org. Or Facebook, very simple, is Indiana Ballet Theater. And finally, the Northwest Indiana Symphony, their Holiday Pops concert, which is going to be moving around, no longer with the Star Plaza Theater around. They can't do this all at once. So they'll feature the Munster High School Chorale, Northwest Indiana Suzuki School, and, of course, the Symphony Chorus. They'll first appear Thursday, December 13th, 7:30 at Monbeck Auditorium at Highland High School, my old stomping grounds both for high school and I worked there. And on Friday, December 14th, 7:30 at the auditorium at Valparaiso High School. So that takes us through all the events. Again, if you're interested in having your event in the air, please be free to contact artontheairvlp@gmail.com. Well, I'm pleased to introduce our guest here, someone who I know all the way back, I guess even from elementary school, I think, but that's not why she's here now. Marilee Jacoby Naomi Popovich is an artist, photographer, gourmet cook, with something we share, gardener, and a lover of vintage. She lives with her husband, Highland, Dale Popovich, who does a little bit of art on the side. No, seriously, he's a master watercolorist for many years. She is the owner of PopovichDesign.com. So she's going to speak to us on several things. First of all, about her background, design, and also she's representing Ilian Artists, which I have to, in full disclosure, say I'm also part of the Ilian Artists and their history. So welcome, Mary Lee.
Well, thanks, Larry. This is great to be here today. Like Larry said, we went to high school together and junior high and probably all the way back to elementary.
Lincoln?
Lincoln.
Well, see, so we all went all, yeah, all
we
the
way back. Yeah, we go way back.
Yeah.
And
that was just like a few years ago, though, right?
It was. Yeah, only six. But, yeah, I grew up in Highland. I was thinking back about high school, and I was put on independent study as far as art back when I was a sophomore. I actually had a teacher that said that there was nothing she could teach me. You know, I could draw portraits really well. And my true love was I wanted to be a fashion designer. I was a wizard at sewing, and I wanted to create clothes. My brother was attending Purdue at the time to become a landscape architect, and his professor, my mom and dad, asked him to nose around and see if there was any career for me in the arts. And the professor said, oh, fashion design, she's going to have to go to New York. She may never get noticed there. Have her go into advertising because fashion is so cutthroat, and she'll never survive. Well, let me tell you, I went into advertising. It was just as cutthroat, but that's another cocktail. So later on, my brother wound up teaching at Harvard. He taught graduate students of landscape architecture. And he went around and started asking different professors of really good art schools east of the Mississippi. And they recommended that the Rhode Island School of Design was number one. Well, you know what? It's still number one after all these years. And they have a 97% placement rate, but you almost pay $100,000 a year. So they better place you in a job. And then number two is Pratt in New York City. And then number three was the American Academy of Art in Chicago. So my dad and I went down there, took a look at it. They had an open house. We got the calendar and their catalog, and I realized that I had finally found a place that I belonged. I felt like a little bit like an oddball in school because I always wore odd colors. At least I thought people told me it was. You know, I wore a Mickey Mouse watch before anybody else. But when I got the American Academy of Art, I had found like-minded people just like me. So, and the school was dedicated only to the arts. My professors all said, when you go out with your portfolio, they're going to never ask you to see your degree. And I have to tell you, even now, unless they want you to be a creative director or very lofty title, they want to see your portfolio. They want to see how you think. They want to see how creative you are, because the sheepskin's not going to show that. So I went to the academy, got my degree there, and I also found a husband there. But that's not what I was looking for.
You weren't looking for an MRS degree at that
point. No, I was not. It just happened. I was so focused on school and disco dancing at the time.
Well, I think we share that for sure.
So, but I met my husband at the breakfast table, and we sat there for 3 years. We became really good friends. And later on, 7 years of courtship, because I kept on telling him, no, I have all these goals. I can't get married yet. And but after 7 years and seven proposals in Beverly Shores at the, was it the Lighthouse restaurant there that was there one time? Every year on October 8th, he proposed to me, and finally on the 7th year, I said yes. But, you know, he has been a big supporter of me. I mean, huge supporter. And we have a friend whose mom was a handwriting analysis artist, and she would tell people that our handwriting was so similar that she referred to us as Dara Lee long before J-Lo was.
So in school, what was your favorite discipline? Did you do fat? Did you pick up?
No, I didn't do. They had fashion illustration there, but at that time, Chicago was not known for fashion design, and you would have to go to New York. Now you've got the Art Institute.
Yeah, you do.
And it's become a nice community of fashion design, not as big as New York, but
healthy though.
Yeah, it is very healthy. But at the time when I was going there, so I would say my favorite was probably the graphic design. And that's what my brother's professor had said. She's going to be good at graphic design. My brother had shown him some of my high school things. I love to do posters for all the musicals that Larry worked on. I liked working with type, and I like playing with letters and coming up with my own type fonts, yeah. Which is on my bucket list, is to design a type font one day. But I have a big bucket list.
The Merrill Lee font.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
It'd be a very catchy name, too.
But I have more hobbies in a lifetime. Let's just say that.
I love that about your website, actually, is on your About page, where you list all those different things that you aspire to, that you've accomplished. That was, really wonderful.
So, and my website is popovichdesign.com, in case you're interested. So once I graduated from college, my husband wound up teaching at the American Academy of Art. One of his students was a woman whose last name was Trebus. Her husband was probably the top dye retoucher in the country, and a dye is just a giant photo on photo paper, and they go in with Dr. Martin dyes and bleach and color and draw. And she had recommended to Dale that Earl and I meet. So I met with him, and he was he looked like so 1950s, buzz cut. He was amazing that he could draw. He'd get the blueprints of a car. The car didn't have the wheels on it yet. When he was done, it was a car. You didn't know if it was fake or real. Mm. Somebody needed the other half of the person drawn on it because the art director shot only half the person. He would draw that person on. So Earl's advice to me was go out and do the menial jobs. Do anything you can get. Learn how to keyline. Keyline backwards and forwards.
Explain what keylining is for our audience that doesn't know.
Well, in keylining in the old days was you take a piece of illustration board and you get a rapidograph pen and you have sheets of type that was set, galleys, that a typesetter would set. And you would literally do what you do in InDesign nowadays or Quark. And you'd have the crop marks on there. You'd indicate where the bleeds are at, if there was die cuts. You would have a picture that was black and white called a stat that would tell the printer where you were going to have your photography or your illustration placed. And it was basically a mechanical of what the printer would use to create a brochure, an ad, anything that was printed in four-color process. So I did that for about a year. And then an opportunity came up where I could go work for a promotional agency, which is nowadays a marketing agency. So I worked at quite a few different little or big ad agencies and marketing agencies until I finally landed at a place called Frankel & Company and started there in 84 and wound up working there till 2000. And it was a good learning experience, and I often am told that from there I got a master's degree and a doctorate in marketing. Because 16 years of working with, and Frankel was the number one marketing agency in the country. So getting that kind of education day for day, living it, you don't realize. And the designers and art directors were forced to think. You had to think and come up with ideas just like a writer, an account exec. And everybody's thinking counted for the most part. They were always open to this. And I wound up working on really wonderful accounts like McDonald's, new products and Happy Meals. I worked on Frito-Lay, Citibank Manhattan, and I worked in the United States Post Office and Target. And I mean, it just went on and on.
Steven Spielberg, I see you have that on your resume.
Yes, I do. When I was working on the Happy Meals, they sent me out to L.A. for a week with another art director, and I was designing the McDonald's American Tail Happy Meal and all the point-of-purchase collateral that went along with it. So the best way to do it was to fly out to L.A., work in Steven Spielberg's studio in the most amazing art studio I've ever seen in my entire life, sitting next to E.T.'s finger in a glass case, and that was fun. I met David Kirshner, and I've never met anybody with all the creative doors open. Nobody ever slammed them shut. It was amazing. And so I worked there. My 3 months out working at Frankel, I got Santa Claus the Movie, which wound up making me like the Christmas queen after that. Because I worked on the adult and the youth marketing program, designed the Happy Meal, worked on the premium. And in 3 months, they said, hey, do you have your passport? And I thought, well, any other ad agency, the creative director gets to go on these plum jobs. But no, my writer and I flew to London. We went to Pinewood Studios. I met one of the Sulkine brothers. He was a producer. Got to pet the mechanical reindeers. Found my wedding headdress there. And that was cool. But I think the one that really got me the most was working on Frito-Lay. And when you look at a Frito-Lay display and a big movie tie-in, you think, oh, how long did it take them to do that? One whole year of my life was dedicated to that. I didn't work on anything else. Every week we presented new concepts to the client, new concepts to Star Wars. It was to Lucasfilms. I actually went out to Skywalker Ranch and read the script there. We had to sign a contract where I would lose my house if I even told my husband, and he leaked it. It was a really strict contract because nobody wanted things to be released about that movie, and especially Jar Jar Binks. But
well, yeah.
So I read the script, and I loved it. We drove out from San Francisco and up to Skywalker Ranch, and it was very nondescript. You know, they didn't want people to know that's where it was located. Beautiful white fences. If anybody knows, it's a Dr. Welby. It looked like that drive. Big, big numbers that you knew it was that address, and you drove down the driveway, and it was about two blocks, and it was a little nondescript white guardhouse with a guy that looked like he was in a 1950s or 60s cop, you know, very clean, crisp black pants, patent leather shoes, short sleeve black shirt, had the old-fashioned police hat on, and as you got close to him, his patch on his arm was an X-Wing fighter. You knew you had arrived. I thought that was the coolest thing. And that was before digital cameras. Oh, my goodness, I would have been taking pictures like crazy. But so, yeah, I've been blessed to have such an incredible career, but I knew that advertising is a young person's business. And I also knew that it was especially a young person's business for women, because women don't last in advertising very long.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've always been told once you hit your 40s, start looking out. You know, they claim it's because you have babies and insurance. I don't know.
Do you think that's shifted, though, with women staying in the...
No, I think I've got one girlfriend who's freelance. They let her go. But because she knows so much, you know, they hire her back in freelance. But it's all young people. And I think maybe I've learned as I've gotten older, I know when I'm being BS'd. And maybe, just like the military said, they won't draft people over 25 because they know that pretty soon you get a mind. And you start saying, hey, no, you're an idiot. I'm not going to do that. So I don't know. I don't really know the real reason. I don't buy the health insurance thing. I just think it's...
Probably entry-level salaries are more palatable.
Maybe. So I started working on my business, Popovich Design, or as I like to call it, Pop Design, back in 5 years before Frankel asked me to leave, because they got bought out by Publicis, and they really dramatically downsized their Orange County office, their San Francisco office, and their Chicago office. So it really got downsized. And since I'd been there so long, not that I was making more money than a lot of people, but I think that they were getting rid of a lot of the old guard because, you know how it used to be, and they'd probably badmouth it. I don't know. I'm not that kind of person. I'm kind of a Pollyanna in that respect. So, but, yeah, so I started my own business, and... like I said, 5 years before I left Frankel. So I've been in business now for about 23 years. And
so did you have clients during that time, or were
yes.
you just formulating your plan?
No. Okay. I started planning ahead and getting clients. And I was still developing my own idea of what I wanted in a client.
Mm-hmm.
And now I go after clients that are like-minded like me. I like to get people... that, I follow the golden rule, and I like clients that do that as well. One of my clients we were just talking about his mother, Wilma's Marshmallow Factory. Janie is the most amazing woman, and she's so giving, and
she's so distinctive, too, yes, not yes. only with her product, but just her person
her
as
personality,
well.
Yeah. She's got an incredible brand. And so I've helped her rebrand her logo, her signage. She wanted to have a farm stand feel, but I told her it should be elegant farm stand, and so that was the direction we went. We worked designing, I designed chalkboard signage before people were doing chalkboard, even though it's printed. And I helped her with her web design, too. So she said she could do it. And then when it looked kind of like, sorry, Jamie, a school bulletin. And then I helped her. So it looked like her brand and looked like her personality. And set it up so she can go in there and alter it if she wants. That's one of my big things with my smaller clients is to go in. I'll train them how to fix it. So they can go in and not have to worry about spending $100 to have somebody else
change it.
Yeah.
Right.
And
well, she's busier than ever now. So
she is.
Yeah.
She is. I know. I was just talking to her this week. And I like to help clients like her because I feel like I learned so much from my past life that I can take that knowledge and peel back all the onion skins. And everybody still takes their pants off the same way every night. And like, and even though McDonald's may have buckets of money and Jamie might only have a half a bucket, they still have to do things in a certain somatic order. So I like to teach people how to do things, how to be engaged in their business. I know they're really busy, and I'm also a really strong taskmaster on teaching them that they've got to really take some time and invest. You know, a lot of times I have women clients that try to do it all. And I've had little coming to Jesus meetings with him saying, this is where you hire somebody to fill this for you. You cannot stay up till midnight every night. Some people listen to me. Maybe they listen to me later. But but that's one of the things that I notice a lot of women, and maybe even in this area. They think they can do it all, and then they get burned out. And I've been there, so I try to bring all my knowledge back to them. And I will work with mid-sized companies, too. I'm working with a company, Greeley & Hansen, in Chicago. Last year, I had 7 billboards on Kennedy Expressway. Right now, I'm working with them on a secret project I can't talk about. And they're fun to work with. They've got quite a few offices around the world, I believe. So I like to help them out with their marketing needs and bring a unique design quality to them.
Well, you know, we're listening to Marilee Jacoby Popovich from Pop Design on WVLP.org, and you're listening to Art on the Air. And again, we'll be broadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. at WVLP.org. So, and remember, if you want to support us, WVLP.org/support. And we'd love, Esther and I would love for you to be a host of Art on the Air. We do have current 2018 hosts, and we hope to continue with them, but we'd love to expand. Or if you want to give anything to this station, please do so. So we're going to continue with Marilee here. One thing I was going to ask you, because this is we could do a 2-hour interview here very easily, and that's great. Your advice if someone listening wanted to start into the design business, you tell us a little about your story, your journey, but maybe advice on how to do that.
Well, I think that they should. Nowadays, they want to see a degree. So go for your bachelor's degree. Know the computer inside and out. Know all the creative suite from Adobe. Know Illustrator. Know InDesign. Know Photoshop. I don't know if you need to know Dreamweaver, but you really should learn coding.
Because, HTML you're talking about, yeah.
Because people want websites done, and people want email marketing done. So I would learn that. And then don't be disappointed, because everything's so fluid right now. I was talking to a guy at Apple Computer and said, what did you do? You know, what'd you get your degree in? He said, oh, my degree was in cinema, but it's all changed since I went to college. I'd have to go back to school, because he stepped away from it for 5 years. And he said he'd have to go back to school and relearn it. So I would realize you got to be fluid. It's just the way these times are. and then jump in and take whatever you can get. You know, like me, I was, my first job, I was key lining toilet and urinal spec sheets and rubber stamp cartons. Now, I always said it's better to start there than to end there, but but I mean, it was really disgusting. The I know more about urinals than anybody would ever want to know, and
or should know.
Or should know. So jump in, take whatever you can get. When I was trying to learn the computer, because I was old school, I had a drawing table, I had markers, everything had to be storyboarded out with markers. So when I started learning the computer, I was fortunate enough that they hired a tutor to teach the creatives how to use Illustrator. And I learned Photoshop on my own. I used lynda.com. I swear by it. In fact, if you go to the Lake County Public Library System, offers it for free with a library card. I was paying $34 a month for that, because why buy books when they keep it current? So I would just say stay current, learn, experiment, and fake it till you make it.
Well, that's true. I know you said about how I'm working on, and actually it's more of a personal video that's going to go for the other station I'm involved with, and I had to kind of relearn I'm using just Premiere Elements, not because I don't do that much video editing. It was almost like, oh my gosh, because I audio edit on a different suite, and the tools are different. And so I said, okay, I'm going to make just a mini 30-second video so I can practice the you're right, you have to really stay current with that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I remember when I was still learning Illustrator, I went on vacation for a week and I'd forget the commands. But the other thing, I just started volunteering. I volunteered to do my class reunion poster and the booklet they handed out. I decided that we're going to have an Oktoberfest in our neighborhood, and I designed all the collateral that would go with it and printed it out on my inkjet printer. Just volunteer, do party invitations for friends, keep current, keep on working on it.
I know, because it's all seen. Somebody sees it, and then you get your next
Your
client.
Name gets out there, and you know, and I've experimented. You know, I never did social media except for myself, and I've got a client in Crown Point, PETA Pitt, and they're on Broadway near Strachan Mantils. And once again, Matt, who's the owner, he follows the golden rule. He wants to bring healthy food to the region. And so I am actually in a cooking club with his mother. She introduced me to him, and we talked about his social media marketing. He said, I don't want to do it myself. He thought his wife could do it, but, you know, they had a baby on the way. They already had a child. So they approached me to start handling their social media, Facebook, handling Yelp, Google, Twitter, Instagram, and trying to get their presence out there. And the one thing I did tell Matt was, it doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to see the needle move for 6 months. So your ROI, which is your return on investment, may not show up for a while, but eventually it starts sticking to the wall. So
what's some advice, since you're talking about that, an individual artist and wants to raise their social media profile, and maybe they can't hire you, but maybe some advice you could give them on what to do, how to do it, you know, on their own, maybe.
Well, another person, Dale, my husband, I do all of his social media for him.
Well, that's convenient.
That was going to be mine.
Yeah.
I know. Every time we go somewhere, if I'm doing a Facebook Live of a demonstration, people always tell him, you don't know how lucky you are. So just a little backstory on him. I know I said fake it till you make it, but I really want to try some things so I can have some numbers to prove to people. And so with him being a master watercolorist, we decided, and this is what you can do, figure out who your ideal client is. And I also believe that, you know, in his case, you have to do layers. You just can't go, I'm just going to paint. You make more money on cliche prints. You make more money on teaching. So you've got to look at all those little pockets, all those little departments of your business. And so my advice is to sit down with the calendar. Go down to Office Depot, buy one of those big old ugly white desk calendars, find a wall space in your studio, which I know might be hard, or buy one of those big gatefold presentation black foam core, and tape 3 months at a time. And I think on those gatefolds I can get six on
six,
there.
Yeah.
So get buy some Post-it notes, different colors, and we have this big calendar that we look at, and it reminds us all the time because it's on our dining room table when we aren't having company. And the green is for all of his newsletters. We know when the newsletter has to start. We know when it has to ship out. We use Constant Contact, but I'm going to flip over to MailChimp because it's free for the first 2,000 people. So start your, you know, start your calendar and look at what you want to talk about in those 3 months or what you want to tackle, and then be persistent and stick to it. I think that if you start off, do a website. Do a website. Go to Weebly.com. Buy your domain name, because if you don't, then you're paying for Weebly's advertising. Buy a domain name. You can get that for under $15, and sometimes GoDaddy has sales. Buy it for 2 years so Google doesn't think you're a spammer. Also, start a blog and get your email list going. Tom Lynch, who is a well-known watercolor artist in the Midwest, back in the 90s, he's got a DVD, which wouldn't be bad if you and some friends chipped in and bought it. Even though he doesn't really talk about social media, he talks about how he marketed himself, how he got published in magazines. But he said the first thing he did is he got his mailing list. And whether you're an artist or you're a banker, you need that mailing list. Email marketing is still king, even though you think, I get so many emails. And Tom Lynch actually said he used his mom and dad's Christmas mailing list for their cards to get his mailing list started. And then wherever you go, Dale is doing a demonstration today. I gave him a clipboard with printouts of where people are going to have to sign up for his email, his mailing list. If he does a show, he's got his emailing list. And ours is divided up to people that are collectors and people that are students. So get that emailing list. And I'm going to tell you, emailing list, your website, and a blog, you own those. And it's not that hard to do, just so people can find you on that website. But you own those. If Facebook goes down or somebody finds Mark Zuckerberg did something sneaky with politics, Facebook could be put out tomorrow, or another social media might become in favor. So think of Facebook as the Hammond Times or the Gary Post Tribune. That's how it communicates new information to us. But somebody could take the newspapers down, too. And then you have to, I know this is so painful for a lot of artists. I hate to write. I'm dyslexic. Words flip on me. Letters flip on me. But you have to learn to write, because the only way Google's going to find you is with words on your website. And if you have a problem with spelling and punctuation, there is a free app called Grammarly.com. I purchased that on sale, and it tells you 400 different grammatical problems. It'll tell you, do you want to speak in a casual voice? Do you want to be an authority? It asks you all kinds of questions before you start working on it. That's if you buy into it. And it will tell me when my line is passive. It will show me where I need a comma. It'll tell me that one word I used is archaic and that this would be a more trendy word. I'll tell you, it's a godsend, and it helps. But you have to write. You have to write between 300 words a week. Well, actually, 12 to 2,000 a month. So that's four blogs, 300 words a week. And you have to make sure it's rich in search engine optimization, which is a whole conversation in itself. But that's
SEO.
Yeah, SEO. But what SEO does is it helps Google find you, which is very key. I mean, they look at the words, and I just think it's something that's needed. For Dale, he was my guinea pig again and did a lot of SEO for him. And with that, he is now, as far as this past Thursday, Midwest Watercolor Instructor. He is number 2 on the organic list on the first page. He Chicago Watercolor Artist. He is the first page on, he's the first position on the organic search on the first page. And organic means you're not paying for ads, because you'll see that little thing for ads on the top, and on the right side there's a column with ads. We're not I'm too cheap. We're not going to pay for those unless we have to.
There used to be a trend about for your website, the more links you have. Like right. if you, is that still?
Yes. Links, backlinks. Backlinks mm-hmm. would be, for example, if Larry put a link of my business on there saying, you know, if you want to learn more about artist marketing, talk to Pop Design. And he had a link there. Those are golden, too. Golden. And there are people that buy lists, and they'll put them on, and Google is too smart. They'll figure that out, that it's not a true backlink. And there's even places, sites out there, that you can see how many backlinks you have to you. So every artist friend, you should have them put your website on there.
And, that, then you, and you, now, like I do it, mine on my webpage, on a links page.
Right.
And but the one thing I kind of insisted on is that they do a reciprocal link. Well, I get requests for people to put theirs up. I go to their website and check it out, and there's no place for a reciprocal link.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you know, unless it's something of benefit. And to me, like I have one that's called Shark Ranks, which is an older one, and it rates different, in my case, photography in their site, and I'm number one. Okay, so if people go to my website, go to Shark Rank, oh, yeah, he's number one there. But yeah.
Well, and I've got an easy solution for that. If you want to put out a backlink, now you've got a blog
right.
post, and you could talk about what you've learned from, even though you might be a collage artist, what you learned from Larry.
Right.
So you've got a topic. I don't think there's not enough topics out there. We're full of them. And, you know, so in when you're doing the search engine optimization, the strategy, you should really come up with words. And there's ways of doing that. But, for example, with Dale, I put 1 day, 2 day, or a 4 day workshop. And I say in the Midwest. He's been found by the Peninsula School of Art, Dillman's in Lake de Flambeau. Somebody sponsored him as an artist for the Brown County Art Gallery. Mm-hmm. I mean, they found him through this in workshops and demos. In addition, just recently there was an article about him on Artsy Shark at Voyage Chicago. Indiana State Museum contacted him and said that they wanted him to go to T.C. Steele's house and paint one of his trees that he painted.
I know, how exciting.
I know, that was like, it just blew our brains out. And they said they liked the way he painted his trees, and that to me, that's such a compliment.
Well, you know, in regards to social media, and it seems like Facebook has been the main player. I know in my case, you know, I have my personal page, but I also have my business page.
Right.
But I make sure most of the time I take anything I post on the one page, I link back to it.
Right.
Because I have more, I have like 2,000 or 2,500 followers on my personal page. Not quite as many, though I constantly go on my personal page. You're invited too.
Right.
And I know you've talked about before about Instagram being the up and comer. Is that still kind
yes.
of the case?
Well, see, it is. And I think you've got to, I just don't see Twitter for us because
no.
Twitter, you have to have 100,000 or 10,000 followers. And follow 10,000 people before you even make a dent. So unless you come up with, by some odd chance, something goes viral, I'd say put your time in YouTube instead. So I really think Instagram is the up and coming. Facebook, like I said before, is the Hammond Times or the Gary Post Tribune. You can find recipes. You can find events. You can find out about wedding anniversaries. Instagram is like a magazine. Big, beautiful pictures, a little bit of copy, use your hashtags wisely, and you can start building up following. If you have 10,000, you can start selling. So if you can get 10,000 people to follow you, you could actually have a link. And if you do, there's one woman who has my 100-year-old home or house. After she got 10,000, she put links. She'd buy something at Pottery Barn and say, I bought this at Pottery Barn. Her business, she's a palette, oil painting palette artist. She is now great indoor store. I think had her take over their blog for a weekend, do a photo shoot of her house in California with things from their store. So you can link it, have an affiliate program. Let's say you have paints from Dick Blick. Dick Blick has an affiliate program. You could sign up for it and use it on your newsletter, too, or your website. Once they click on it, they go and buy it. Amazon's the same way. Then you get a couple cents for that product. Mm-hmm. Amazon's nice with the affiliate program because if somebody goes there because you recommend an iPad, and then they buy the iPad case and maybe a car charger, and they go, oh, you know what, I'd really like this book, and oh, look it, let's get some tomato paste. In the 24-hour period, everything they buy in that shopping cart, you get a little chunk of the chains from. So, yeah, I think Instagram is still, but it's owned by Facebook.
Right. I know one of the problems I had with Instagram is I like to upload everything from my laptop. I have a high-end laptop that I do all my work on. And then I discovered something, which I shared with Mary Lee some time ago, called Grambler. It's a little app that you do, and you put it on. You can directly upload from your you don't have to use a mobile device. You can do it. So from my laptop, I can upload. Because that was one of my obstructions for me, getting on Instagram. I set it up in Instagram, but I'm like, oh, I have to go look. And this way, I can pull anything out of my photo file, upload it, or current things. So Grambler is a great thing.
Now, the one thing I notice is a lot of people that really aren't interested in what you do will like you. So
right.
It gives you a little false reading.
It does. It does.
So what I wind up doing, I use that when I want to really bump a number.
I do that too.
But if I want to really get a true reading, and with Facebook and Instagram, you have personal pages and business pages. Get both, and I'll explain in a minute. So on the business page, you know, I will do the work on my computer, email it to me, and then post it on Instagram. I use Spark, Adobe Spark, which is free. That's wonderful. If you're not a designer, they give you a ton of templates that makes you look really professional. And I actually bought into it for $9 for the year, I believe. And it helped me just crank out a little faster because time is money for me. But think of your Facebook or your Instagram personal page. That's a place where you post pictures of your kids, your grandkids. It's personal stuff. Think of your business page. That's where you post your, now, you know, people still post dogs, but that would be your dog in your studio. That's acceptable. But it posts your paintings, your photography, your sculpture.
Exhibit notices. That's one thing I use it for. And I always make sure I put it on my business page, and then copy it to my other one. So
and
they
then
have the link
tie
back.
It back. Right.
Right.
Because I do. I have a lot more friends on my personal page than business. So whether it's Dale or me, I always link it back. And what's nice about both of the business pages is they give you analytics. You can see how many people looked at it on Instagram. It tells you what age is your primary viewer. And I'm always using Dale because a lot of my clients won't let me share their information, so he lets me do whatever I want.
But, because he has you for free.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
So his primary student is a woman who's an empty nester, maybe a little more income. They're debating on doing a watercolor class or going to a jewelry making class, as much as that would hurts to hear. But so, and it's people that are like in their early or late 40s, early 50s, into 60s. But when you go to Instagram, his following is 35-year-olds. So, and then I post like when I do a Facebook Live on him. And don't be upset when your Facebook Live doesn't have anybody watching it. People will watch it later on. And you can download it to your computer and then upload it to YouTube too. And YouTube is the second largest search engine. And it's owned by Google, but.
Right.
So when I do the YouTube or when I do the Facebook Live, that's on his business page. Just like Larry said, I share it on my page. I share it on his page because the more fingers you can get out there, the more people spread it. But that's, one of my big things. But back to your original is to make sure you get the mailing list and start your website and start writing. Write as much as it's painful.
Yeah. I know. I actually did a blog more about theater and things, and I kind of let that go. But that's something I know I'm going to need to probably jump back onto. And a mailing list. That's so easy with MailChimp. I mean, I'm still doing direct sales. You know, so when someone contacts me or wants to license an image or things like that, I do a direct sale. But you know, I'm getting a few nimbles out there because I constantly post things.
And we got burned. You know, I kept on badgering my husband. We got to get a mailing list. This was back. Oh, maybe in 2014. And his partner, he co-teaches a class at the Palette and Chisel in Chicago. And I said to them, we need to get a mailing list going for you guys, because they wanted to do workshops. And I said, no, we like word of mouth. And we went to a really big workshop resort, and just to see it and meet them. And, you know, and the guy said, I got an opening this fall. Let me see your portfolio. So I ran out and got my laptop, came back in. Oh, your work's beautiful, Dale. He goes, now how many people are on your mailing list? And he turned and looked at me like, oh, God, I'm going to hear about this when we leave. So at that point, we started creating his mailing list.
You're listening to Marilee Jacoby Popovich on Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. And then it'll be rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., streaming live at WVLP.org. Well, we're going to move on to something else. And by full disclosure, I'm involved with this group also, is the Ileana Artists, and that were formed. And I know a little bit about the history, and then I'll let you talk about the rest. Is actually, the Ileana Artists were started when the Center for the Performing Arts and the then Northern Indiana Arts Association, which now is the present day South Shore Arts, was their in-residence arts group, much like Area Artists Association is with Lebesnik. And they were there for a few years, and they actually did the atrium exhibits for many years. And then they kind of parted ways and everything like that and everything. So that's kind of the history that I know of the thing. So we'll punt it back to you, because you're the marketing director for that, which is another freebie, but that's because you're part of the – but it's just newly reconstituted, so –
So the group, I've been with the group since 2014. I have been the treasurer, and now I just wanted to be marketing, handling their website, doing their newsletter and any kind of email blast that need to go out, and designing signage and the booklet for the juried show we have every other year. So the meeting, we take place, it's the second Monday at Westminster Church in Munster on Calumet Avenue. We meet from 6:30 to 9, and during that time, we talk about up-and-coming events. If people have shows they're in, people can address a problem. Let's say you're having a problem with a certain kind of canvas, and it's not stretching properly. There's people in there that know everything, and we accept anybody that's creative. I mean, if you're an oil painter, watercolorist, pencil, you like to do, if you did crayons, we take you. If you do photography, I'm a graphic designer, and they took me in. So,
and it's really open to even emerging artists. I know, right. It's like a lot of Kathy Loss Rathburn, who's president. She has a lot of her students that come and just to learn. So it's also, I mean, I think the motto of the organization is artists helping artists.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we share in the newsletter. We will share other art organizations are doing things, even the big museums and whatnot, just so you can feel like there's all this art going on. You may not know where to look for it. You know, you can find it online, but...
So with the Ileana Artists, do you do postcards at all? Do you find postcards to be effective marketing?
No, we decided, because it costs a lot of money to mail. So we decided back when Marianne Gratishire was president, she passed a year ago, and that's when Kathy jumped back on board. But we decided that we would just do... everything would go digital, that we wanted to get younger people, and they don't look at postcards or, you know, little folded pieces of paper.
Sure. So how big do you think a mailing list needs to be effective?
Well, I think it isn't how big the mailing list, it's how good the people are on it. Mm-hmm. So on Constant Contact, they said in Dale's two categories, I've got Dale in. One is crafts. And one is education. And they're saying, in either case, it's about if 25% of your emails are open, you are golden. We get 40 to 60%. So
good.
To me, that says we've got the right people.
True.
But back to Ileana, our mailing list actually is just to the members. And that's what the group had decided. Don't send it out to other people. Unless I have a second mailing list, all the people that entered one of the juried shows. So we have a big mailing going out to them, letting them know the new show is coming up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the membership itself, we meet on, like I said, at Westminster. We meet every month except January, July, and August. We have a summer party in June, and our Christmas party is December. The newsletter is quarterly. We have additional mailings go out. We have a business card, and if you become a member, you have a one-page business card where you can talk about your business. You've got your, you can look up Larry. You've got his bio on there. A couple of years ago, I videotaped him an interview for Ileana Artists. That's on there, tied to YouTube. We have his gallery of his paintings that you can click on it and see a larger version. Not paintings. I'm sorry, Larry. They look like paintings.
Well, that, you get that from Kathy because she calls everything paintings.
Paintings, I know. So his photos are on there, and his art, I believe an artist statement. You can put that on there too. We currently have 23 members. And no, 32 members. I remember it. I think I sent you that. Membership is open to anybody. Anybody that wants to join. We have monthly demos and lectures. In the past, like in September, Larry was kind enough to come and present how he does his photography. He actually opened up his secret vault and shared some of his techniques in Photoshop.
From ShutterClick to Final Render. Well, what's interesting about doing that, the challenge for me, is the majority of people there, with a few exceptions, are not really photographers. So I wanted to share the process of how it's similar to an actual artist who paints. And what I do is I always tell people I don't take pictures. I make pictures because I manipulate them quite
a bit. Right. And I have to tell you, he did a great job because nobody was falling asleep. And then in October, we had Tony Lipka.
Yes.
And Tony is from the Great Frame Up in Oak Lawn, Illinois, and he demystified framing. And if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see some videos of that. And then lastly, in November, we had Golden Paints. They brought their products, and we played. And then this February, I'm going to be talking and giving a presentation that I just gave to Lac Array Art League. And it is on claiming your online art presence. And I do talk to art leagues about how to become a social media guru for the artist. And because we're coming to the end, I just want to let you know that we are in desperate need of a president, a vice president, and a treasurer. Everybody's resigning, and there's nobody to fill the slot. And I don't know what's going to happen because we have this wonderful juried show coming up at the Chesterton Arts Center in August. And then lastly, two books I recommend, Jason McDonald, Social Media Marketing. Go to Amazon, look up his books. There's a book on SEO fitness workbook and the marketing book. He's a brilliant man. And then Allison Stanfield's book, and look at her old podcast. She wrote a book, I'd Rather Be in the Studio. And then lastly, Towering Winds Academy of Fine Art is my husband and my online art school. And we're going to be talking about how to be a better artist with videos, and I'm going to start doing social media and training people to market themselves.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Are you still... So, yes, you do the marketing and the graphic design, but do you still draw and do stuff personally?
No, I bought my goal, because the computer has just taken over so much of my life, but my goal is to start, New Year, is to start doing at least one little sketch a day.
Well, we're going to wrap it up here. Oh, my gosh, I don't think we talked very much on this particular interview. You've been listening to Art in the Air. We'd like to thank our guest today, AmeriLee Jacoby Popovich. I just keep wanting to just put your married name with you. Art in the Air is, again, heard every Friday and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. with our host, Larry Breckner, alongside Esther Golden. Thanks to Greg Kovach for being a station manager, engineer on our show today. And next week, we have Captain Ambivalent. Dan Beamer is going to be in our studio. So Esther bringing in a great guest.
And his golden accordion.
Yes. So we hope you enjoyed today's show, and hope you have a great holiday season. She's